previously on Algoa FM Breakfast.
We have such a special guest in the studio this morning. She is here to talk about her documentary, Falling Forward. It's not a story of endings. Well, not all just about endings. It's a story of becoming, of what happens when life knocks you off balance, and how you choose to rise, grow, and move forward. Ladies and gentlemen, in the studio this morning, Rachel Colisi.
Welcome, Rachel.
Good morning, guys. Thank you so much for having me. It's so good to be here. Such a good vibe. Oh, my goodness.
You know, when they ask one person who you would love to be able to go to dinner with, or it's usually someone who's no longer with us, but I would definitely, hands down, put you in my top five.
Gosh, someone that you should have called me last night.
Even better, I get to have breakfast with you, so I've woken up with you, Rachel.
not many people can say that.
Exactly.
Welcome to Algoa FM. I mean, you're no stranger to Quebejo. You've been here several times over 2025, and you're back in 2026. And the reason why you're here is to talk about rather falling forward. When you hear that phrase now, Rachel, falling forward, what does it mean to you in real life, and not just the name of your documentary?
I think it's falling forward as a way of living. I think every single person can acknowledge and agree that life doesn't always hand us the most beautiful baskets of joy and rainbows and unicorns. Like, sometimes we have to deal with really hard things at different seasons in our life and at different points in our life. And I think it's just in the way that we live. And so the whole idea and concept of falling forward is really just about a way of living and a way of doing life, and also understanding that we don't arrive. I'm never going to arrive at a point where I feel like, okay, got it all sorted, fully healed, ready to go live my best life. I'm constantly a work in progress, as we all as human beings should be. And I just think that, you know, if we look at the state of the world, even coming in this morning and hearing the news this morning, we hear this on a daily basis, all the negativity, all the wars, all the genocides, everything going on in the world. And at some point, we would love to see that change. But unfortunately, you know, if we're not taking responsibility for ourselves as adults and as human beings, it's not going to change. And so I think it's up to us to really start taking that on board. And that's the intention of falling forward, is how do we do hard well?
Well, talking about doing hard well, I mean, there's a line that the story is about the quiet chapters. What's a quiet win you're proud of lately that people, you know, would clap for, or maybe, you know, not clap for?
I think that a quiet win for me will probably be that I was really intentional in the last year to really just work on myself, nothing else. So I did work because bills have to be paid. I showed up fully as a mother and as a parent in a season that's been a massive change for my children as well. But what was really, I think, something that I'm very proud of myself was, is I never stopped pursuing growth and healing for myself. And that was really what I spent a lot of last year doing. And I think sometimes people move too quickly into the next chapter and into what's next, where I just felt like it was really important to just be in that season of hurt and pain and disappointment, and to kind of move through that. So that's where I'm at. And again, haven't arrived anywhere, but definitely heading in the right direction. Mm. That's for sure.
Now, there's a lot of honesty in the film. Was there a moment during the process where you realized you were sharing something people don't usually get to see?
So much. and not so much in a way that it's like juicy or there's going to be drama or anything like that. It's just, I think a lot of my
life, the
stuff
we thrive on.
And I think a lot of my life has been kind of recognized in the public eye for who I was married to and who I got divorced from. Yeah. And I just think that it's really limiting for me, because there's so much more to my life and what I have to bring to the table than just that. That was a season of my life. And so it's really just exploring some of those other experiences that I had, that I believe that a lot of people are going to be able to relate to a lot of different points in my life, and not just this one very public point, but many other seasons and situations that I've dealt with. And so, yeah, there's a lot that I'm sharing, and probably more so even in my book, which is coming as well. Yeah.
Oh, exciting.
And so that is... Yeah, that's going to be really amazing. It just goes into a little bit more detail, but the documentary is going to definitely capture all the good highlights.
Well, can I just ask, sorry, Wayne, you mentioned the book. What is the book going to give people that the screen can't?
More detail.
Mm. Okay.
More detail, because you're limited with the screen in that it's kind of like... You can only capture so much in an hour and a half.
Gotcha.
Where a book, you're really able to explore a lot more, unpacking a lot more of the situations and details and stuff. But it's the screening, it's the environment that's going to be created. It's the community that's going to be created, and people will really be able to experience that. So that's kind of like the intention of it.
You were talking about motherhood earlier, and motherhood plays a strong role in your documentary and the story that you're sharing with us. How has being a mother reshaped your understanding of resilience and responsibility?
I mean, we were just touching on a few points this morning with kids not wanting to go to school and teenagers and how to deal with that. I think motherhood is one of the most humbling experiences anyone will ever have, or parenthood, you know, for dads as well. Mm. I think it's one of the most humbling experiences any of us will ever have, because there's no book that says this is how you do A, B, and C in raising your children. Mm. You're kind of navigating through so many different seasons, not just of your own life and changes of your own life, but also the people that you are responsible to raise. And so when they're kind of dealing, working through big changes as well, you're kind of navigating your own. It's a really interesting journey that you go on together. And so the documentary is going to be exploring a lot of those themes, as well as just like the changes in parenting, and how do you do that well? How do you do that when your life also feels like it's completely been overthrown? So, definitely exploring parenthood. I think it's very important. And I was chatting to a friend about it yesterday. Motherhood must be one of the hardest jobs in the world, honestly.
It's particularly hard, Rachel, when you are working through something difficult or experiencing one of life's challenges, in that as a parent, you'll know you don't always have the liberty to fall apart. You don't have that freedom, right? You've literally got to pull yourself towards yourself and keep it moving. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of instances where, where women tend to lose themselves in the season of caregiving and responsibility. Okay. And, you know, it's refreshing to hear you say that you also prioritize your own healing while at the same time balancing your responsibilities as a parent. In your opinion, what is the first step to finding yourself again?
I love that you've highlighted that, because every time that I've said it to myself, I prioritized myself last year, it automatically makes me feel like I'm being selfish, or like I did something wrong, or I shouldn't have done. But ultimately, you can't pour from an empty cup. And I've really found that women especially are always the first ones to make sure everybody is okay, everybody's taken care of, and we ourselves put ourselves last constantly. And then we still think that we're going to show up in all the different spaces that we have to show up 110%. It's just not possible, and it's not realistic. And so a lot of last year was really just exploring that, and a lot in the documentary and in the book, I'm going to be exploring those themes as well, of like why women believe that it would be selfish, or they need to carry guilt or shame to invest in themselves, not just physically, emotionally, mentally, in all the different spaces. Like, do things you want to do. Mm-hmm. Go for a weekend away with your girlfriends. Like, why is it that we are led to believe that that's something we shouldn't be able to or allowed to do? Mm-hmm. And so...
Go on a solo safari.
I like to do all the things that your heart desires, but I don't understand why that's frowned upon for women and not for others.
Rachel, looking back now, what part of your own identity was the most challenging to confront or sit with during this journey?
I think my identity for the last... over 10 years has been tied to something that I believed was going to last forever. And so my work, my family, everything that was important to me was, I was investing all of what I had into this thing. And then this thing didn't work out and it broke. And so it then kind of just, it literally makes me feel like there was like a box of everything that I was building, that I was like investing in, putting in, and then it all, like, the box just turned upside down and everything came out and just shattered. And there's a lot that happened last year that people know nothing about. And and I think what that does is it really just shifts you as a human being, friends, family members. There's just so much that happens in a situation like this, so many moving parts. Mm-hmm. And part of like last year's process in just investing in myself and figuring myself out again was understanding who I am and going back to my values, my principles, who I am as a woman, how I want to show up in the world. And that was a really important part of what last year was for me. But sheepers, my identity, it shifted so much in the last 18 months. And I'm incredibly proud of how I've kind of moved through that process. And also just with the decisions that I've made and boundaries that I've put in place, which boundaries is a whole other topic.
So I was just going to ask, you know, you've lived so many parts of your life in the public eye. What kind of boundaries had you did you have to put in place specifically around the docu so that it stayed honest but also safe for you and your kids?
Yeah, there's been, tons of boundaries that have been put in place, not just around like the documentary or storytelling, but whatever I've said and spoken about online. And the thing is, I get that it's very controversial. I had this conversation actually with the gentleman that collected me from the airport last night. And I was just saying to him, you know, it's there's a very fine line to being honest and feeling like you're trying to represent a group of people who are otherwise unidentified and unrepresented and sharing too much. And so I had some very specific things already going into all of this that I knew is never going to be made public. There are things that will never be spoken about, never made public. However, there is a process that I think is not exclusive to me. In fact, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of women that have reached out, not just women, even men, just with life shifts and changes and big things happening. Mm-hmm. And they've really felt represented by some of the stuff that I've been sharing on socials. And so that's been just a really important process for me to make sure that I'm representing that well, and to make sure that people feel like they can identify and that, you know, there's something to look forward to. And it's only because I've had other people sharing resources, podcasts, books that I've been able to identify with too, which have been amazing.
I mean, this journey and the story that you're telling is a very personal story, but it's also very universal at the same time. Mm. What do you hope that people will see in themselves when they're watching Falling Forward?
I hope that they feel like they are not alone. And honestly, this process that I've just come through, I've never felt more isolated and alone in decisions that I've had to make and massive life shifts. And so I hope that when a woman is standing in that room, and this is why the documentary Roadshow was really important for me, like it's possible to be streamed, but I feel that there's so many people that are kind of navigating life in isolation that I almost want people to be in the room to understand the vastness and the capacity, the amount of people that are all just showing up, not just for each other, but for themselves. Because I think sometimes when you go through something really challenging, it feels really, you feel very alone. And so I envision this person coming in maybe on her worst day, and she's coming, she's maybe not even engaging in the small woman-owned business market area. She kind of just sneaks into the back. She gets a seat at the back, ready to get out as soon as possible, but she's just desperate for hope. She's just desperate for somewhere where she can just land, somewhere where she can just breathe, where she feels seen, her story feels seen. And so I'm choosing to be brave in this process and sharing a lot that has, you know, not necessarily been brought to the public, but for that exact reason, because I have felt that there's people, the Brené Browns of the world, the Melinda French Gates of the world, who have come before, who have chosen to be brave about things that have been deeply personal and but life-changing for them, but that in return for me in some ways has saved my life. And so I feel that if I can be that for somebody else, then all of this like heartbreak and disaster has been worth it. And so I think about that person every single day that I'm on, you know, doing all this work and kind of putting it all together, because somehow I've tapped into my inner Taylor Swift thinking. I can in a short amount of time.
I love it. Inner Taylor Swift. All right. So, I mean, the documentary Falling Forward, we're speaking about it. You're doing a very intimate showing. How do we get to watch this?
The same question.
We'll ask the same question. The tickets are up on web tickets, but also through my website, www.rachelcorlisi.com. Otherwise, on web tickets, we have a road show starting on the 4th of March in Makanda, my hometown. So it's kind of like the coming home season. The 5th of March, going to be in Quebeja at the Boardwalk Hotel. And then the 11th of March, we have Durban, still working on a venue, which has been really joyful, and Johannesburg at the Teatro Theatre at Bonte Casino on the 18th of March, and the 8th of April in Cape Town at the Century City Convention Center, and then working on George and London.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Just for the record, Rachel literally just gave out all of the dates and the venues without even looking at a piece of paper.
I mean, it's only five, and I should know it by the back of my hand, but let me tell you something. This is a startup, guys. It's a startup, and I watched this video this morning, actually, of this woman who's like, where are all the women who are doing startups that are not on private jets and flying here and doing this and making all the money? This is a startup. We're starting with no budget, a two-woman team, and we are doing this amazing roadshow, which is all coming together beautifully. But let me tell you something. It is a lot of work. Yeah. It is a lot of work. But I know, and this is what I said to the guys last night, because I'm like, I just wish March would come. And everyone was like, no, like, we've got so much to do.
Is it going hand-in-hand with the book launch as well?
Oh my gosh, this is amazing.
I have to ask that question.
Yeah, December basically did not rest. I was working on this book throughout December. Pan Macmillan have been phenomenal to work with, and they are the publishers of the book. But I said to them, listen, the book has to be ready in hand for the first time in Makanda. Yeah. And so that is the first time that anyone will actually be able to have the book in their hand in Makanda, and then of course in Quebeja the night afterwards. So it's going to be amazing.
Rachel, tell me this. If Falling Forward had to have a soundtrack moment, what kind of genre would sum up the season that you're in? Would it be gospel? Would it be R&B? Would it be amapiano? Would it be rock? Would it be heavy metal?
I'm actually crazy that you're asking that, because I had a very interesting meeting this week with an up-and-coming artist.
Okay.
And she's working on something, actually. Wow. And so hold that thought, because I might just send you something in the next couple of weeks. But
can I do a quick rapid fire with Rachel, Wayne?
Yeah.
Quick.
How quick is
very quick?
How quick is your
Rachel, baked cheesecake or fridge cheesecake?
Fridge.
Drums or flats?
Drums.
Duvet or comforter?
Duvet.
Lemon and herb or peri peri?
Lemon and herb.
And here's your Makanda one, donkeys or horses?
Horses, sir!
Three.
That was not like a trick question that often.
Makanda's full of donkeys. Early night or a late night scroll?
Early night.
Bath or shower?
Shower.
Glass of wine or chamomile to unwind in the evening?
Both.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Full bladder, my dear. Hair tie or scrunchie?
Scrunchie.
Heel, sandals or sneakers?
Sneakers.
Thank you. Was that quick enough for you?
That was fun. Well done.
Rachel knows who she is, man. She knows herself.
Found my identity, guys.
It's been wonderful. We can sit and chat here all morning to you because she's so lovely. And we wish you all of the best with your screening, your documentary, and then, of course, the book. You've got a busy 2020.
Yes. And there is more coming. There is more coming.
Exactly. I mean, beyond the book and the docy, just wishing you so much strength and joy in the next chapter.
Bless you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
And don't be a stranger. Next time you're in Kabeja, PE, pop in.
Always.
I'm here for a nippers competition end of March, guys.
Oh, so mommy.
I was a nipper as well. Yeah, that's fun to watch the nippers, the flags, and I can go on to another conversation.
Thank you so much, guys. You're amazing.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rachel.
Appreciate you. Bye. Algoa FM Breakfast is the business.